Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Rotten Tomatoes is Wrong. It's your girl, Jacqueline, alongside Mr. Mark Ellis, and we are in spooky season.
We're in the heat of it.
Yes.
Again. There's pumpkin in the air.
I was to say, the PSLs. I'm sorry. I feel last episode I shaded you a bit for that. Pumpkin is a very big part of fall.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that I was. Okay. I make a big distinction in my mind between pumpkin spice latte season and pumpkin spice, because I got this candle that I'm really excited
it
about.
It smells good.
And it happens to be pumpkin spice. And what did I tell you?
Yeah.
I like it not because it reminds me of going to a coffee chain.
Yeah.
It reminds me of football season.
Oh, yeah.
So I like the candle lit because it's like the crispness in the air and still optimism about my team in mid-September can happen.
Our guest can back me up on this. But I was still a black woman listening to a white person wax about pumpkin spice. And I was kind of like, this is something I've lived before.
You've heard it all too much.
And I was like, you want to break out that Friends box set?
Oh my gosh.
To this?
Drag to hell. What else about him? His Uggs and scarf.
I know. It's so
is
wrong.
A Christian girl fall.
I know.
For you.
I did say North Face jacket.
Get that Cardi together.
Well, this is so bad. I feel bad for him because we outnumber him today. And this is like a great moment, I will say, because I'm bringing my friend, also an incredible podcaster, host.
Yeah, our
friend. Our friend.
Mutual friends.
Mutual friends. We will fight over it in the comments. But Akila Hughes, she's an author and the founding host of Crooked Media's What a Day podcast, and also happens to see me and Mark outside of studio locations. How you doing, lady? Welcome
I'm
to the pod.
So good. Thanks for having me. It feels overdue, but also we've all been on strike and all kinds of crap. So who knows? Time is a construct. Thanks for having me.
And you are freshly off strike, which I love from one of your unions, and we are soon to be off strike from both and back at it. So
knocking on the wood.
Knocking on the wood.
I can't stay hot forever. Hollywood's going to have to get off the pot. I'm sorry. Pooper, get off the pot.
I mean, honestly, I'm glad you put that there because that is the reason why I love this movie and why the score is so wrong, because the sex that this movie gave us, it was such a sexy movie. It gets a 10-point curve just for how many fantasies it unlocked.
Oh my God, this movie. So this is a Sensual. Movie that, again, this is one of those weird movies that, like, it made money at the box office.
Yeah.
Everybody knew this movie was coming out. Everybody was aware of it. Everybody still is aware of it.
Yeah.
This might even pass the True Romance test,
where
this movie is even more, like, well-known from, like, Gen Z, because it just keeps having these new lives and people discovering it, and me included in that, because I was aware of it forever. Last night was the first time that I watched The Craft.
Yeah, the 1996 classic, 57% rotten on the tomato meter, 65% audience score. This is a film that I think when we look back on it is just so quintessentially 90s, but it is obviously going to be something that ranks high on our 100 best 90s horror movies. But it's also included in our book, Rotten Movies We Love, under cult leaders, because it was just that iconic. And the sad truth is it took us so long, but I appreciate on this episode that for Rotten Tomatoes is Wrong, we brought two suburban black girls to it, where the film only brought one. Head on over to RottenTomatoes.com, check out the editorial, 90 Best Horror Movies, or pick up a copy of our book. But before we dive in too much deep into all of this witchcraft and spookery, which is, I mean, and just days after the fall equinox, we are doing this right on time, sir. Do you think you can now, having dived into the pool of the craft, give us an accurate synopsis?
I might have to light a pumpkin spice candle, if that's okay.
Yeah,
set the mood a little bit.
Exactly. You're going to get ran out of here if you
try that. I think you can, and I really want you to do this because it's going to be great.
No, but, well, okay, it's fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
And again, I was excited to see it. Mm-hmm. I did feel like I acknowledged this was a gap in my viewing history that I needed to rectify. And this film, I will say, when I first saw that this was what we're watching, that we were having a keel on, I was like, oh, it's interesting that she picked that movie with Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman. And then I was kind of expecting it.
Well, you thought it was the other witch movie.
If you asked me about Practical Magic versus The Craft, I could tell you that they were two different movies, but I just had in my head that I was watching those two stars. And then I put on The Craft, I'm like, oh, no, this is something else.
Yeah.
But you also have a lot of DNA pre-scream in this movie.
Sure, totally.
So this film is about a group of young ladies, three young ladies looking for their fourth, not like another friend, but their fourth to complete this circle of witchcraft that they all investigate. Like every person in high school does. They have a hobby. They get into a clique. They're definitely not well-liked by the jocks or by the cheerleader sect, right? So they go off in the woods. There's a lot of woods in this movie.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Southern California wilderness where you go and you're just like getting away from your parents, casting spells, reading about stuff, going into these storefront, you know, Wiccan kind of shops. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden we find that we do have some powers.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, and what happens when you get a little bit of power? Oh my God, that apple tastes so good.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to finish this whole thing to the core that gets rotten.
Yeah.
And they get too, highfalutin, and a couple of them need to be taken down a peg, and that's our adventure. And some people have some pretty gruesome exits along the way.
Real bad.
Yeah. All that dude wanted to do was hold a snake and show it to people.
Yeah.
And,
hate to see it.
Yeah.
Hate to see it.
So we'll spoil that ending by the time we get into movie talk. But that is what the movie, The Craft, is about.
Yeah.
Well, since you gave us that great synopsis, and because you are fresh with it, were you surprised at the 57%? Do you think Rotten Tomatoes was wrong?
I think Rotten Tomatoes was wrong. I think that even at the time, because this movie feels so stuck in the 90s, but also very progressive, even for where we are now, as far as just like, you know, talking with women in 2023, as I'm, as a single fella,
talking with women.
Like, the old joke used to be, it's hard to date somebody my age or younger because I'm not an astrologist, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know when this planet's in retrograde.
Yeah, it's important.
But seeing how seriously people take all of this kind of lore.
Yeah.
Like, I had a girlfriend before that y'all both know.
Yeah.
And one of the very few rules that I had when she was moving in was, no Ouija boards in this
house. Oh, wow. By the way, he's being euphemistic, but like, she's a gateway drug.
Yeah, no, totally.
She is a gateway drug.
She will read those tarots.
Into witchy
shit. She would always.
She really is.
Even today, she's like, oh, no, let me do a tarot. I'm like, get that stuff away from me.
Yeah, like the occult stops at the door.
What do I always say? I don't believe in it, but I don't not believe in it.
And you believe enough in it to fear it.
Only if it's good news.
I have a...
Yeah.
I didn't want the good news. Because, as this movie proves, if you get a little bit of good news, it always comes back threefold the other way.
So, yeah.
No, thank you.
Woof.
So I'm going to ask you then, Akila. First of all, I want to know how you feel about witchiness. Because he is right. Like, California, and that was literally my point I was going to say, is like, there's certain things you get in California. Tattoo, a weed habit, and like a tarot reader. Like, you know, those are the things that like...
You perfect the weed habit.
And the trainer, to borrow some of Mark's lines. Like, those are like, that is like the LA starter kit.
You get a trainer, you figure out how to park at Trader Joe's, that kind
of
thing.
You know, like, it's part of it. So how do you feel about the witchy stuff in real life and in movies? Mm. And then how wrong do you think the score is?
Okay, so what I will say, and this might surprise people, is that I am not super witchy. I like Halloween, but I would say horror is probably my like biggest blind spot as far as like genres go, because that kind of anxiety and like dread is the worst feeling. Like, it's like a roller coaster for me, but it's all down. The whole time I'm like, are we ever going to come up a little bit? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Rest the bit. It's scary.
I'm not
having fun.
Oh my God.
So I actually resisted seeing this movie forever. I saw it last year for the first time.
Wow.
It wasn't a big part of my childhood. Like, I had some Halloween birthday friends, so sleepovers would happen. And I was the one with toothpaste on my face because I went to bed at 7 p.m.
Yep, yep.
I was like, you girls have fun. straight up. Like, I'm not staying up to do the, like, light as a feather, stiff as a board.
I love that we were all old people, even back in high school.
Yeah, I was definitely an old person.
I'm ready
yet.
To go to bed.
Yeah. I do not want to talk to y'all about anything
right.
anymore.
You're going to dare me to eat dog food, and I'm going to say no. And now I'm the loser. All right. So, you know, this is just all out of my wheelhouse. And even now, I think that I still am a New Yorker in that way where I'm like, yeah, yeah, you can do your little witch crap around me, but I'm not, I don't know if I buy it. Like, is it a coven or is it a potluck?
You know what is so
Let's
funny?
Be, is it networking or is it a coven?
Fair, fair. And one thing that a lot of the more toxic communities on the internet has proved of is most people just need friends.
Yeah.
Like, they would believe that around. The earth is flat if it gave them friends.
Right.
And you look at the Robin Tunney's character in this movie.
Yeah.
She basically, she shows up and she's new and she's like, who wants to be friends with me?
Yeah.
The guys are kind of giving her some looks. The cool girls want nothing to do with her.
Right.
So it's like, I guess I'm down to the witches.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I just happen to be good at it.
I happen to be the LeBron James of witches.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm only now finding out that I am Michael Jordan of witchery.
But let's be real. I needed a friend first.
Yes, exactly. And that's the gateway. So I would say, unpopular opinion, I think that this score is accurate.
Just south of fresh.
Wow. Just south of fresh.
Fresh adjacent.
Close. And I do think that, you know, the real issue is that Scream has just overshadowed it to such a degree. Like, and I wasn't able to sleep through that one. They really held me down and made me watch with my eyes open. They're like, you're going to be terrified of this serial killer. So I think that, like, when I saw the movie, because it was so much later, I was like, this is a lot of the cast, but is it bringing, like, Nev Campbell, come on. Like, she's so good in Scream.
The whole time
I'm like, Sydney. I can't.
So we brought a Scream head to a craft fight. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. We can have a
Put
good
time. Put down your ghost face mask.
Exactly. I'll let it go for this.
It's fair.
Because you all are my friends and I love the pod.
No.
But I will say that when I realized that was the sort of crew, you know, the real only difference is that they do have a person of color in this one.
So I'm sorry.
Right.
That was enough for me because Rachel True was like she was the avatar with her and Cree and just like them.
Yeah,
that was the main thing that I loved about the craft and still love about the craft. Like, don't be wrong, Firuza, the style. I really love Rachel's outfits. Yeah. I've definitely cosplayed as her in Halloween. But at that time, that character was fucking groundbreaking.
Yeah.
This was 1996 when it was always just the same four white girls. It was always just the same for whatever. So, like, even having her in the movie, in my personal opinion, was a huge part of it. And one of the things I want to talk about, I will say I think Rotten Tomatoes is wrong, but actually, y'all be surprised. I think it is just a little bit slightly better. I looked at Cruel Intentions score.
Yeah.
And it was like low to high 60s, I think. Brian, like, double check me if I'm right on that. But that's where I think this one should be.
Cruel Intentions, really?
Yeah.
I would not have picked. So, first of all, I would
Which
not
one
have...
would you say is better?
Cruel Intentions.
Cruel Intentions, yeah.
All right. Can I tell y'all something?
Yeah. You've never seen it, have you?
Oh, you have to do this one. So, where is it?
Write it down.
54. Less.
That's
so, that's
wrong.
What I'm saying.
That's
like,
wrong.
Like,
Cruel Intentions holds up.
Basically, what
Brian,
I'm saying
put
is.
A pin if we need this same exact table for Cruel Intentions.
I'll be back next week.
I think Cruel Intentions has gone down because it used to be in the 60s. I did know that it was in the 60s because it was in the book in the 60s. Anyway, whole point being
80% audience.
80%
because the audience
for
is right.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable.
I mean, for the
bottom.
Record, I would put the craft where the audience has it, like mid, 60s. Maybe high 60s.
Right, I would say that. I would say Rotten Tomatoes maybe is off, but the audience, 65, sure.
Look,
sure.
It was still a movie that was marketed to teens, specifically to teen and tween girls, which, again, that is a complete genre of filmmaking that has gone the way of the dinosaur now.
And, like,
so.
Hot Topic was starting to, like, crop up.
Yeah,
balls.
Yeah, for sure. They were, like, trying to sell some chokers.
This felt like Twilight of the Night, where it's, like, everybody who is walking out of this theater probably has a new hobby that they can't wait to get into.
Yeah,
exactly.
Let's also go ahead and take a peek, though, and see what people were saying back in 1996, because I do feel like this is a movie that is very much of the moment, meaning that whatever we think about it, whether it be good or bad, was directly related to how people felt about, again, teenage girls at that time.
Yeah, totally.
All right, Brian, cue the music.
Two men swept in.
In some ways, The Craft is pure 1996, from the clothes to the soundtrack, which includes cuts from the likes of Heather Nova, Letters to Cleo, Matthew Sweet, and Elastica. In other ways, it can feel like Clueless's black-clad cousin, given that it was released a year after and also featured a cast full of up-and-coming talent. But even if The Craft is heavy with Gen X trappings, it's a movie that's much more than just a time capsule. The Craft was a sleeper hit when it was first released in theaters, and it's enjoyed a cult following ever since, enough that a sequel, The Craft Legacy, was finally released in 2020. It didn't do quite as well with critics, however, who praised the cast and the film's empowering message, but were less impressed with the movie's so-so special effects and its reliance on cliched plotting. The Craft is rotten at 57% on the tomato meter with 60 reviews, and it has a 65% audience score. So what did the critics have to say? In a rotten review, Jane Gonnell of the San Francisco Examiner wrote, "Despite the heroic efforts of four promising young actresses in the starring roles and a nifty premise, the movie is a mess, so incoherently plotted that dramatic tension doesn't have a chance to build." However, in a fresh review, Dave Kerr of the New York Daily News wrote, "With its sense of what can be accomplished on a small budget, The Craft suggests the classic B-horrors of the 40s, particularly The Cat People and The Seventh Victim." The Rotten Tomatoes critics' consensus reads, "The Craft's campy magic often overrides the feminist message at the story's core, but its appealing cast and postmodern perspective still cast a sporadic spell." So that's The Craft. Let's kick it back to Jacqueline and Mark. Now is the time. This is the hour. Theirs is the magic. Theirs is the power.
Wow, he got the tagline. I love it when he has a little tagline.
I see, I'm not even saying that stuff. Because, like, I see what it does in the movie, yeah. And I'm like, no thanks.
Right.
Why?
Spooky.
No, you thanks. Know,
why risk it? Yeah. Things have been bad enough.
Listen,
we just got the negotiating committee to get us back in business. I mean, can't risk nothing.
And if you don't think there were some witches on the side of that happening, come on. Yeah. I know there were covens working overtime for the past 146 days to get this strike.
My football team just got rid of the worst owner in the history of professional sports. Yeah. And you want me to mess with this magic stuff?
Yeah, no, I'm good.
I am
hit
sitting
me up in January.
Yeah.
The thing I will say is this, since I get to, as we head into movie talk, before we head into movie talk, I will represent the witchy community well, because I just want to say, between the two of you, I've felt the slander. So let's get into movie talk.
It's a healthy side of fear going with that slander.
Yeah,
like, no,
you know, totally. I'm not a witch, reality, but I don't want to upset you.
Yeah. So I want to be very clear. I grew up in a very Christian household, and it's so funny to me that Christians are so against, like, religion and the occult when they program you to be hella superstitious and hella about rituals and rites. And so when you let that go, that's when you find people that go to other places, and I'm definitely one of those people. Because I do believe that there's certain things that are, like, prevalent. It's like certain herbs and certain spices and certain things. It's like, energy that you put out.
Pumpkin spice?
Pumpkin spice
more
is
like
its own
sage,
witchcraft.
Okay? More like, yes. Certain people, have you ever had a person walk into a room and completely change the energy?
With their attitude?
With their attitude.
Yeah,
like, in my personal opinion, if you put the right things in the air, that could also, like, counteract that. And that's, like, part of, like, what I think things like The Craft key into. Now, do I think it's going to make me beach a bunch of whales and fly? No.
It could, though.
But can it alter the energy and the vibes? And to know, like, the right time for the energy and the vibes, like, the fact that all these celebrities have broken up right when Venus hit retrograde, I'm just sorry.
I mean, also, you know, the strike. They saw it coming to a close and, like, do I want to be emerging with this person again? Like, after the pandemic, we made it halfway.
For us union folk, it is like coming out of a pandemic after the strikes.
Totally.
I will say this, not to, like, take it someplace else before we go deep diving into The Craft, but remember those pandemic breakups? Like, the minute people went home, they're I can't live with you.
Yeah, they're like, the whole point of our marriage is that I don't have to see you half the time.
There was also the other people where, like, they got all coupled up in the pandemic and then they didn't know how to be the couple outside of the pandemic afterwards. I think that's this current wave of breakups. Like, that's the, like,
we're really good at doing puzzles together, but now that we're allowed outside,
like, I don't know who you are.
Like, well, I don't really ever want to be at a party with you. I mean, one thing that this is a theory that I have is that any of the celebrities that you didn't see during the strikes at all, you're just like, that person's really, like, I usually see them. They're usually in the news. I think this is the time a lot of people are getting plastic surgery.
Yeah.
We're going to get a lot of new faces this fall. Don't
tape up those hair plugs.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually do not agree with you. I saw an actor the other day and someone was like, oh, why did he buzz his hair? And I was like, he went to Turkey. Let's talk about and it was not for the scenery. So you both caught the craft later. I can't. Yeah. First of all, how? Is it just because it was horror?
Well, I was a kid in the 90s and I just don't think that I was allowed to watch it. Like I remember it coming out because I think, does it come out after Scream? Scream's like 95, 97?
I actually looked it up because again, like Nev Campbell's in this and Skeet Ulrich's in it too.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh,
major.
It was after.
It's actually May 3rd, 1996 when this came out.
Yeah.
Then Scream in December of 96.
And just ate its cake. And so I remember that like that next fall when it was on VHS or whatever, the Boys and Girls Club showed it for the sleepover. They showed Scream, but they didn't show The Craft. And so it's like, I really had no entry point. And then by the time I was old enough, we were in like a very different place in horror. Like it would have been a retrospective even in high school. So I just felt like I missed it because of the age I was and the genre it was. And also, I think by the time I got to high school, all my witchy friends had like sort of like made their coven and I was clearly not.
You were too cool to be in the coven.
Yeah. I was just in choir. Like I was doing other stuff.
I was definitely not in the coven back then. This was definitely a California thing. Like it was the joke in Austin. When you got to Austin, you get tattoos and you get a dog. I do believe like a tarot habit is part of the thing. Because this is the other thing. The weather is too calm and you have like less like environmental stresses. So you have to worry about wavelengths out here. You know, it's not like you're worried about rain. You got to be worried about like, you know, where the northern.
Oh, so you're saying like people in Buffalo don't get into witchcraft because they're busy shoveling snow.
Also, I just think that like, I mean, to be really sort of like theological, it's like there's not a ton of religion on the West Coast. So like this is
the religion.
Actually the religion. Like we act like we're somehow different, but I'm like, no, you just chose this. Like astrology.
Yes, that is very true.
It is nuts
that
to think back and like remember how scared of like witchcraft and like even like people like parents groups burning like Harry Potter books and stuff like that a couple years later. But the fact that your Boys and Girls Club is like, okay, we got The Craft and Scream.
Yeah.
Like that we were cool with slashers,
murdering
teens.
Exactly.
But it's like now these girls are playing light as a feather, stiff as a board. Exactly. We don't want our kids seeing that. Like,
right, they're going to start doing that in the game room.
Which we absolutely did. And I just know it was middle school. So this was either sixth grade or seventh grade.
Yeah, were you a theater kid? Did you see this in the theater?
We saw it in a classroom. I know for a fact that this ended up being
Akilah
like,
wishes she went to
like,
your
school. Like I know, the last day of school movie, like when it was on VHS. So I guess that would have been 97. So that was, that was like my going into my eighth grade year or maybe going into my seventh grade year, whichever one ending my seventh grade year. Yeah, going into my eighth grade year. That was when that happened. So,
I'm such a dummy when it comes to watching movies anyway. Like, I never predict what's going to happen or anything. Yeah. I was legit thrown for a loop when the girls started turning on each other.
Yeah.
Really?
As soon as, you know.
Every woman's like, surprise.
Ferris the Black gets like that superpower, right? Like in the middle of this movie. And then you can clearly see, like, oh, that's the one. Vicky Valancourt's the one that's, like, kind of going to go nuts. And we got to stop her. But, like, up to that point, I was waiting for, like, one of the bullies to emerge as, like, this more overlording kind of thing. We took care of them so quickly.
Yeah.
Christine Taylor, you racist piece of garbage.
No.
Let's get the boils on the head. Mm-hmm. And let's put a spell on Skeet. And let Breckenmeyer giggle at him, and we're done with everybody else.
Ben
and now we just got, now it's about the coven itself.
Yeah.
Ben Stiller's ex-wife at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they were like,
they're not together anymore. I'm missing it. Was that the pandemic?
Oh, no. Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Dang. Yeah, they're not together anymore.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. But no, that one, they're honestly to the Firouza Balk of it all, because this was after Waterboy.
Mm-hmm.
Which was what? Like
no, this was pre-Waterboy.
Was this pre-Waterboy?
It feels like it had to be.
This is pre-Waterboy? Mm-hmm. What did she do? Oh, no, this is after Return to Oz. This is after Return to Oz and after The Worst Witch. So, like, after she was a child star.
Yeah.
And this is when she became the bad girl of the 90s that we all sort of like. Like, she was the girl from Orange is the New Black before she was the girl from Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
What was her name? The one that played Punxsutawney.
Oh, Taryn
Manning. Taryn Manning. She was the Taryn Manning of the 90s. Yeah. Like the kind of weird off-kilter white girl that you could say was from the trailer park.
Yeah, right. Yeah, totally. But I was reminded watching this movie how great she is in just across her filmography, because she also has a smaller part in Almost Famous.
Yeah.
But she's so fun. Like, she's so captivating. Good. And she's actually such a captain. All four of them.
Yeah.
One of the things I liked about this movie, why I would make it fresh, is because their chemistry, particularly with the three that are already in there,
yeah,
and like, will they, won't they, letting this fourth in there, I really like, I believe that they were like best buds in high school, and they had a good time like going into these like stores and looking at all these like potions and books and all that stuff.
Riding the bus.
That store freaks me out. I'm not going into that store.
Yeah, I don't ever want to see the B-sides of the Witch Store. Yeah. That's not for me.
No, and then remember the beginning when like they're like, oh, what's behind here? And the store owner's like, yeah, you're not supposed to be in there. I'm like, don't go in there.
Also, let's talk about that store owner. She seemed to be, by the way, another example of every aspect of movies like this is the adults are clueless. Like, there's never an adult that has anything going for them. But the shop owner, who seemed to just be like, these four crazy girls with impulse issues who are getting really into the occult, nothing bad could happen. Let me give them quiet,
also,
polite warnings.
Does she not believe, like, it's your store. You don't believe in witchcraft enough to be like, this might be a problem.
Yes, like.
Oh, see, I think she knew. I think she was like Thanos. I think she knew all this stuff was going
to
happen.
She tried to unleash it. She was like,
and then she like, let me invoke you and you go fight the crazy girls. You're an adult lady. Right. Like, do
their
something.
Mom. Just
like,
call their
call
mom.
Parents.
She was the puppet master. She loved watching all this stuff play out.
Yeah, it reminded her of her youth.
Yeah.
Right. And let's face it. She doesn't have a lot of stuff going on outside of the store.
Yeah, she's no one's really coming in either. It's not like the store was bustling when they came in. She was like, oh, finally, my regular.
That's probably why she did it. She's like, these are the only bitches buying stuff in this store.
Who's going to keep it open? Who's keeping it open?
At the kids, this is the place with the Catholic school where everyone goes. Yeah, I'm sure she had lines out the door.
She's always about to close, like getting the sign up, and they're like, here we come with $15. Got any more sage?
Yeah, the only regulars in her store steal it. And
she knows it's still good.
She's encouraging this behavior at the very least.
She's like, maybe they'll show their friends. Their friends will be above board and come and buy something.
Is she the witch version of the mom who's like, okay, you girls can drink, but it's got to be at my hand.
Amy Poehler and Mean Girls.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I want to ask you this, though, about The Craft in particular, because it was a movie at the time that played in really great with girl fan service. Like, what she does to Skeet Ulrich in that movie, every girl wanted to do that to the guy who wasn't calling him. Because, ladies and gentlemen and Gen Zers, let's remind you, this was back when you had to be at home for his call. Yeah. So if a guy said he was going to call you and he didn't call, you were literally, like, at home waiting for them to call. This is, like, before the age of cell phones. So it was even more infinitely rude. And so that aspect of the fan service, the aspect of changing your apparel, the obvious, you know, part of the kid that was ordinary and outcast becoming the cool kid because whatever it was is no longer bad about them. That is the stuff where I'm like, oh, of course this was popular at that time. Do you see any of that? Like, do you
totally?
What do you pinpoint as like, okay, it wasn't for me, but I get why this was so popular.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of what you just said is exactly it. Like, it's a fantasy for especially teenage girls to feel like they have power. And, like, these young women end up with a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And so I think being able to just see that on screen and also, like, it feels justified for most of the film where you're like, okay, this is like, these people are terrible. Like, you know, a little bit of the Get Out before Get Out where you're like, these racists are just going to get away with saying this to this woman or this like teen. It's, and no one's stepping in to like help. You know, I think a lot of teenage girls want to be able to rely on themselves and they found each other and that was cute. Also just like, this is the era of Spice Girls. So you have to understand like girl power is everything. And so until the point in the film where they start to turn on each other, there is this sort of like, wow, like you could have a group of girlfriends just change the weights of the scales in the school and like, you know, sort of correct some things. So I think that that's really good. I also think like the fashion, the makeup, it's very iconic, like in the same way that Clueless was, where it was like, these are, it's of a time, the fact that like, they don't really talk about their socioeconomic status, but everybody has a style. And none of it is like super ugly or too out there. It feels like it could exist where you live anywhere. I think there's just something about it that feels very cool and nostalgic. And even then it was like, if I was in high school, I would have been like, we are those girls.
Yeah. It's got such a teen rebellion quality to it where, like, you look at these at these four leads, right, and they all have some version of the Catholic school uniform that they're required to wear, but it's also, like, tricked out with all these other, you know, like, the necklaces and like, the things that they got,
the
like,
rosary
from
goth.
The store. All that other stuff. So it's just, like, cool counterbalance. And the scene that really, like, hooked me is when, I love the Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board scene. I thought that was so cool. Because then the movie starts being almost like this superhero origin story where who's going to break good, who's going to break bad. Like, we have basically the Force. Who's going to be a Sith, who's going to be a Jedi.
Yeah.
And then the scene on the beach, man, when they, like, we realize just how powerful we are.
Yeah, like, you could ruin the world.
Literally. And
I think that was when it got scary, though. I didn't love that scene, like, looking back on it, because the minute that happens is when I'm like, oh, this is, somebody's gonna die.
Yeah, it apparently got scary on set too.
Really?
Because a director, Andrew Fleming, he was, I think he was saying something like, the scene where they're casting Manon, I guess, is like the entity.
Yeah.
That apparently there's a Gaelic god of the sea named Manannan or something like that. So it's very close. Every time that they would say the name Manon, the waves got like
really
like
intense.
Crashier and like louder and like noticeably thunderous. And then when they said the name Manna one time, the first time they said it, the power went out.
Wow.
Like all the like stuff, all the lights and cameras like went down and
it's like Macbeth.
That's where it's like, dude, you're knocking on a door and there's stuff on the other side of it.
Yeah.
The one thing I will give this movie, as much as I like it, there's aspects of it now that I feel the reason why it maybe didn't live in it. Let's be real. These women came together and then they immediately turn on each other in a, like a very vicious way. It's almost like, if you really think about it, it's like, yeah, that does happen. But like just how this movie played into that, there's such a better version of this story where they become like the Powderpuff Girls.
Yeah.
And like exact revenge and become something a little bit better. But
they just, they never had that team dynamic at the beginning. Like, they never had an agreement in place. If we get these powers, they were just kind of fumbling around in the dark. And lo and behold,
here comes Spooky McGee.
Yeah, right.
They did have, obviously, like, Wiccan and whatever on-set advisors. A great YouTube video, if you haven't checked it out, is an actual witch, like, watching this movie. It's, like, my favorite one. It's, like, when the real-life person goes back and looks at it and they just roast them. Like,
yeah, they're like, that's not it, how
it's we like have, Neil deGrasse Tyson watching an outer space movie.
This is we have Neil deGrasse Tyson to, like, sort of thank for this. But it was interesting.
So what'd she say?
It was, like, 50-50. Like, like it wasn't great, obviously, because she said, there's a lot of choices they're making because it looks good. It's like, but there's also some other ones. I do want to talk about, too, because you talk about the group aspect of this, because they've made a sequel of it, and there's so much of it. Because the poster, it's all four of them, and there's such this iconic thing. But I question what Andrew Fleming is saying about Mamna, because we already know that, like, that unity amongst the cast was not actually accurate.
Yeah.
Like, we've come to find out later that, like, first of all, the girls were in their early to mid-20s, but Rachel was 30, and so she was always sort of, like, separated from the cast in everything that they did.
I mean, it's, I think that plays out in the plot. Like, you know, like the poster for me is, to your point, iconic. But then you watch the film and I feel like there's so many storylines with her that are just like, well, we had to drop that because these other two girls are fighting.
Yeah.
Like, she, by the end, I'm like, she's kind of the only one where I'm like, let her just wander off. Like,
yeah, right.
Go do
right.
your own thing.
Like, I felt the same kind of way with Robin Tunney's character's backstory, where like we got like little shades of it, but we never, I thought we were going to get like a little more meat on that bone. Like we clearly understood where Firuza Black is and her character is coming from. Like, you just have this terrible home situation. Like, obviously, you want to be out of the house
or
out of the trailer as much as possible because you don't want to be home. Mm-hmm. Like, I get that. And then everybody else, it's like occasionally they dip the toe in the water of their backstory, but we never get to like really. It never felt fully fleshed out where they became more than just like a person in a movie. They never quite became like. I was rooting for the group.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I was so disappointed that the group turned on each other.
Yeah.
Because then individually, I'm like, well, I actually haven't fostered much of, much feelings about any one of you.
Yeah. Also, bullying is not a great adversary.
No.
Like, you could have either talked it out, talked to a teacher, or done the witchcraft. But, like, by the time they've defeated the bullies, I'm like, so then what else? Like,
and then you
of
find
course
out-
they have to fight each other.
Yeah.
They're bored now. They're just sitting there like, no one's messing with us. There's no one to give boils to.
Yeah. And the craziest thing about that, too, is even in that sort of like moment, it's like when you look at these characters, it was all selfish endeavors.
Yeah.
It was all selfish endeavors. And that's kind of why it all failed. I guess that's the great lesson of it. Also, I wish they wouldn't have turned it into Superman, because so much about it was about the four of them. That's what got girls on it. They're like, oh, I'm Bonnie and I'm this person. Actually, everyone wanted to be Rachel or Firuza Balk. But
they gave an option for the person in the group who had less friends. And you're like, look, you don't really get to choose who you are. You're these other two.
I mean, look, it was very much you could be JC, like JC Lance and the rest of them kind of situation.
Exactly.
JC Justin and then the rest of them type situation.
Yeah.
Although now it is JC Lance and the rest of them. Sorry, guys. That is like a very deep NSYNC cut.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about, I would say, like some of the amazing scenes, because it is like a lot of great visuals. The special effects for this movie at that time were pretty groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. Like, especially when you get to like the last scene of like, I remember the MTV Movie Awards parodied her whole like flip your head thing that they were able to do and the snake pit and all of that stuff.
The snakes, man.
Yeah, wow.
The snakes.
Indiana Jones level.
There's so many
snakes
and bugs. And just all of the stuff in that witch store. And I like that's part of our climax plays out there. And that's where we're kind of discovering who we can be. And so that the owner lady kind of turned into sort of like an Obi-Wan, where it's like, no, this power is inside you too.
Exactly.
Good luck. Because she almost just seemed like, hey, like she never had the talent to go pro.
Right, exactly. Yeah, she's the teacher. She's those who can't teach.
She's like, I was good in high school.
Exactly. I aged out, but you all have
didn't
a lot
get a
of potential.
Scholarship. I didn't get a scholarship to witch school.
Yeah.
I didn't get to go to Hogwarts like you did.
And I had to open a store to sell all the crap that I accrued over the years. And you all are stealing it. Totally.
How much of this episode is just us roasting the shop owner? I really do need
think that, like, if they were going to make the sequel, which they did, it could have just been this woman, like, packing up town and going somewhere else. Because I feel like it also, I mean, like, to your point, it is California with, like, the beach and everything. But this, to me, was like, this could have taken place pretty much anywhere in America. So, like, let's follow her when she gets run out of town.
It felt much more like the town in Footloose than it did someplace in Southern California.
Totally,
where it's like, hey, we don't really, we frown upon these outsiders doing their weird spells and stuff.
Totally. Yeah. And I'm like, no one was so unseemly or like slovenly in the group that I'm like, I can't believe they're having these kinds of bullying issues.
Yeah.
It's like a one strong parent going to the school, I feel like, would have corrected that.
Not in the 90s.
Really?
Not in the 90s.
Yeah, because you were labeled a goth kid and you instantly got like the Marilyn
Manson.
You go
to that store one time and
one
now
time.
That's your whole.
Right.
This is where your younger millennial is showing.
Yeah, like, you guys are old enough to remember bullying.
and bullying and the type of bullying they made that movie The Good Son about. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the type of bullying that got you on a milk carton, we definitely experienced. Like,
but also just the fear of anything that had to do with witchcraft. Or even, there's that card game Magic the Gathering I played early in the day.
They banned it.
And even that freaked parents out.
Yeah. Totally.
It's like you found my magic deck, and, like, because I had, like, a 20-sided die, I'm not deciding your life on this dice. This is how many points I have
left. Why don't you watch us play and see if anything shows up?
Right.
I guarantee you it's just going to be, like, teenage sweating. Yeah. that's going to happen here.
That's so funny. My parents, for as religious as they were, media was just like not the thing that they ever felt like needed censoring, yeah. which is so surprising. Music, absolutely. Wow. But I'm like, you don't know what is in movies?
Yeah.
That's why you're wearing all your rebellious rock and roll shirts now.
Yeah, literally. And if this is rebellious, that shows you just how much like ruckus I was putting in.
I think
70s
the parents would be okay
listening.
with putting on Feel Like Making Love by Bad Company.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Just you kids leave the bedroom door open
exactly,
when you're studying.
Yeah. Hands.
Yeah, everybody put your right. hands up. Terry White from the Empire Magazine, very well-known critic, was the one that actually wrote about The Craft, which I think is crazy because like this woman, I think, like she's the editor that just edited that great piece about Martin Scorsese where he's like talking about his like morality. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. this is the level that she kind of does. I want to just at least point out the fact that the music was a bop.
Yeah.
The look was
great
a bop.
Soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. And if you Killer. Were part of the early days of the MTV TV Movie Awards, The Craft is just like a movie of that time. Yeah. Like it's just I can't say enough about
I
how
I think it won the popcorn for the fight scene.
Yeah,
I think it
probably.
Won the golden popcorn.
Yeah, they were throwing furniture, so mm-hmm. you really can't beat that.
And the 90s, look, we have what? Two people, well, one person from Clueless. Mm-hmm. We have two people from Scream. We have the Brady Bunch movie. I mean, really, everyone.
Breckin Meyer's
in every TV movie.
It really is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this movie, when it came out, I mean, again, this movie was released May 3rd. That's like the first huge summer. Weekend of the summer movie season. And that's after a Fast and Furious movie has already come out. Like,
right, yeah. exactly.
And it was number one. I think it made like $6 million and it was number one. And it edged out a couple like, holdovers.
Mm-hmm.
Van Damme's The Quest was number three. I did note that. But there weren't like a lot of other new movies that were coming out, which is crazy to think that it was like May and 1996. And like, this is what we...
Well, all the money in Hollywood was going towards that Titanic release.
Yeah.
they were like, we're putting all of our eggs in the James Cameron basket.
And better pray.
Good luck, teens.
Also, too, I want to add with this one, this was definitely a movie that was a VHS phenomenon. Like, that was the thing about this one, is this was a movie that...
Yeah, because you have a sleepover, and you put it in, and you're doing, you know, you're probably doing spells like the movie.
Definitely.
And, you know,
absolutely.
Lock the door so my parents can't catch us watching this kind of thing.
Yeah, totally.
Light as a feather, stiff as a board, that sort of like Candyman horror stuff. This was, this is the film that sort of plays as the soundtrack of it. That wraps us up on the movie talk. We didn't mention the sequel, but there is one that came out in 2022.
Briefly touched on The Craft Legacy, which I gotta be honest, I'm interested.
Yeah.
I just want to know, because it's called Legacy, how much we taken from this one? Do we get to meet our store owner again?
Well,
she's just in the opening scene like,
you know
Who's in Legacy? There's one, Nev's in it, right? One of them comes back for Legacy.
It's either Nev or
Robin.
Go to the email and I'll have an answer on the other side.
We'll have an answer on the other side. Let's go ahead and open our mailbag while Mark looks up whether I've lost my mind. Okay, we have a mailbag this week, and this is from Beatrice Summer. And she says, hey there, my name is B. Sorry, Beatrice. I want to suggest an episode for us, but I'm a cheerleader. Girl, you are bringing the queer energy to the right place. This is one of my favorite movies, and I think it's the reason it didn't get a great Rotten Tomatoes score is because it was way ahead of its time. It's so funny, a perfect queer movie. Thank you so much. 42% Rotten with a 74% audience score. Also, one of our essentials on queer comedies, mm-hmm. Natasha Leone, the movie that made us think for so long that she was not straight.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a cheerleader. Honestly, though, I think that was probably one of the most disappointing moments for a lot of women was they found out that she was like...
Yeah, I mean, all the fan pages are like, what's going on?
like, no, not only is she straight, she's dating Fred Armisen.
yeah. I mean, I saw an interview that Greta Gerwig did about Barbie and was talking about all of the influences. And obviously, there's so many. But one of them was, But I'm a cheerleader.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, even if you don't relate to the story or you feel like it's very of its time, which it is.
It is.
There's so much to be gained just by the way they shot that film and how, like, surreal it is, but also, like, the color palettes. I just think that, like, it's a movie that I also saw later and I was like, holds up.
Yeah. No, the dark themes with her, like, ethereal pink. The thing about But I'm a Cheerleader, it's right there in the title. It is the shock when you are not what everyone presents you to be. And, like, mm-hmm.
the movie
exploring
is
that conceit in such, like, achingly authentic detail is just why it's so great. So yeah, so we should do that one.
Maybe I shouldn't see it because like, because I've gotten into comedy clubs with, but I'm a comedian.
Oh, like that kind of wow.
That totally. Insecurity tinge we all feel.
Yeah.
I didn't know Natasha was in it. I mean, I heard of the movie. I've never seen it. Yeah. I didn't know Natasha was in it. I love everything she's done.
Yeah.
And recently she's had such a run and I'm such a fan of hers. Mm-hmm. So
no,
I'm ready to go back.
I think we should absolutely
right
go
after
back.
We revisit The Craft Legacy, starring. Let me give you some names.
All right,
okay. Let me give you some names. Michelle Monaghan is in this. Okay. David Duchovny shows up. Wow. Lovie Simone. There's Zoe Luna. There's people in this. The one recurring member that I see on here. Maybe there's like a quick, you know, blink if you miss a cameo. I do not see our storefront owner. Mm. I do see Fairuza Balk.
Oh wow, yeah.
Isn't
yeah,
it?
That's
I,
who it is.
You know, I would watch just, I haven't seen her in a minute. I'd like to see where we are.
And I want to see where she is with that character. Right. Because it's like, hey, one time I got a little too man and crazy.
Exactly.
And
I
you know, started doing some bad stuff.
Yeah, just how a quick flashback to her just screaming.
Right.
That's a good one. One of these days, I need to ask you how many girls in your high school dress like these girls. But that's
a, there, there was a clique.
Yeah.
And my sister, Mayor Matt, and I would have been a part of it in her
She's
grade.
The head of it.
Yeah, she might have been. My sister was doing a lot of stuff that I had no idea.
Yeah, you're
until
like,
recently.
Every year we review
you
and you're like,
out
oh,
more.
I was like, you were allowed to drive me to basketball practice after mom knew you did this and this and that. Like, it was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely had like a friend who was like the coven friend. But again, I was like in, I don't know, fourth or fifth grade. So she was mostly like drawing vampires and stuff.
Right.
And I was like, well, Autumn's always been a little strange. That was just sort of how we approached it. Then by the time we were in high school, we had just gone different ways.
Oh, my
God.
But
I was trying to think of like, what's like the dude equivalent of The Craft? And it really, the only thing I can come up with is American Pie. Because we're not as sophisticated as y'all in high school. Like, we just want to get laid.
Yeah.
That's all we're thinking about.
It's so important.
And meanwhile, y'all are like doing like spells and like having all these fun hobbies where it's like sports and chicks. Like, that's really all we're thinking about.
I mean, but y'all put so much effort into that.
Boy, do we.
You really made it an art. Yeah. A craft, if you will.
And I still make quite an effort. In sports. The other one, ship is
out. Yeah, they're coming around.
All right, Akilah, before you get out of here, first of all, let folks know where they can find you and what you have working on. That maybe you can tell us because there's nothing you can
tell. Good point. Okay, so I am on the internet on Instagram at Akilah H, AKILAHH. I would say Twitter, but like, what is that husk? No one knows anymore.
Yeah.
You don't have to go there.
I just post like shows, like what I'm doing, but I don't like engage.
There's no point anymore.
And it doesn't work functionally.
Yeah.
It does not work.
I was
well
trying
enough.
To watch the Bengals game and I'm like, okay, so these are from 12 hours ago. The top stuff is still from 12 hours ago. The game is on actively.
Yeah.
So that's
Halloween
tough.
Colors with your Cincinnati Bengals.
Orange and black, we love. And then, I mean, I have a book called Obviously Stories from My Timeline. It's been out for a while, 4-year anniversary. Go check it out. And I have a podcast in the works that is about my high school and going back. So I guess The Craft sort of feels similar.
Yeah.
I'm like, what was going on where we were? Mostly the Confederate general that was our mask.
Yeah.
Where did you go to school?
Kentucky. It was Boone County High School in Kentucky, and our mascot was Mr. Rebel.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my mother went to Robert E. Lee High School. I will raise you a named one, not just an ubiquitous.
Robert E. Lee High School?
Robert E. Lee High School,
I love the mascot. Please, Mr. Rebel's my father.
Exactly.
You can just call me Rebel. Rebby.
Little Reb.
Jesus. Have you been watching anything you want to recommend for us?
Oh, I mean, what a great question. You know, I think
we're almost allowed to.
We're so close. I am in a rewatch phase right now. So if you've never seen BoJack Horseman, I guess go back in time.
Wow, you have been on strike because that is some of the most depressing
stuff.
It's
been hard. I honestly forgot that there was going to be an industry. This has reminded me. I'm like, movies were a thing.
We used to,
We used to do that. We were once
a
society.
I had never seen BoJack Horseman, and I got to, this was probably, I don't know, a couple years ago, but then I had to binge it because I was interviewing the creator here in the studio.
Raphael.
And man, it's
phenomenal.
It's a phenomenal show.
Holds up.
It gets dark though.
Yeah.
It gets dark.
The darkest.
But very comedian sensibility kind of dark.
Actually, I was going to say, this is very much in your wheelhouse.
Yes.
But that is all for this wheelhouse on The Craft today. Akilah, it's so glad that you finally made it to the pod and bringing all of your hilarity. Mr. Mark, sir, is there when this comes out, won't you be in New York?
I'll probably be in New York telling jokes, New York Comedy Club. So got some headlining shows there. And then later on this year, I got Seattle, I got San Diego, Boston, D.C. early next year. So Just get enough it. Tour dates to keep me busy.
To keep you
honing my craft.
Yeah. Or to keep you questionable on how many girls are in different cities.
Yeah, well, you know. I just got back from the most boring week you'd ever want to do in Vegas.
In different areas.
I had options in Vegas. I had options.
You had options.
Eating them pasta and lobster.
And
he's out there. He's out there. He's coming to your city.
But you want my pasta and you want my lobster.
Gorgeous. Stunning. We've done it.
This is...
Oh, sorry. Oh, my God.
I was very well behaved.
Yes. You shouldn't be, though. Listen.
Actually, you know what I did? I mentioned on the last podcast, too, is I'd come back to my room after the show, yeah. right? You meet a bunch of people and you get some, hey, what are you doing later? And I would light my candle.
Yeah.
And I'd watch Friends on Nick at Night.
Oh my God. He would light his pumpkin spice candle and put on Friends. And he wants to get mad at me for calling him slightly basic.
I got it. It was a sweater weather candle. Yeah, that beautiful. At Bath and Body Works.
Stunning. Yes.
Even better. Even better. That wraps it up for this week. Please tune in next week. Mark, let them know what the episode is because my excitement is just too much.
Oh, my goodness. Another one that I haven't seen. All these gaps in my knowledge being filled, including the 1985 classic Legend.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
These are let's be honest. This is the one that I've been like.
Early Tom Cruise, that Legend?
I may have part of it tattooed on me.
Ooh.
Really? Okay, so we'll do the tattoo reveal and we'll not do the tomato meter.
It's an unfinished tattoo, actually, but yes.
Isn't every tattoo unfinished?
It is. Yeah.
Have you ever met somebody and they're like, it's completely finished. Like, nobody ever says
this
that.
This is the beginning and end of my tattoo journey.
It's the very beginning of it. But no, I love Legend. Ridley Scott. With a great soundtrack. Everyone should listen to it to get prepared. Tune in next week. Thank you for Brian Perez, Remsen, Mr. Tim Ryan, Mark Ellis, and Akilah Hughes. I'm Jacqueline Coley, and we'll see y'all next time. Bye.